This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, how to talk to your kids about sex.
This is coming after an image from a Form 3 Kasihatan quiz went viral recently. So first, we discuss the role of education in creating awareness on sexuality and sexual abuse. Then, how can you have the talk with your kids? Finally, we discuss a new picture book that aims to teach young children about consent and personal safety.
So tell us, how do you talk to your kids about sex? And do you remember having the talk with your parents? What was that like? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08. So I don't know if you've seen it yet, but an image has been making the rounds online. It's from an online quiz, and it basically illustrates a situation. It asks the student what they would do if their grandfather requested to shower together, and they were given four possible answers. And I'm just going to list them down as they were listed in the quiz. So first, push the grandfather, cause him to fall down. Second, decline the request firmly. Third, accept the request. Four, splash water on his face. So for context here, the quiz was targeted at Form 3 kids as part of their physical health and education classes, or what I guess we would know as kesehatan. And so we're talking here about, I would think, 14 to 15-year-olds.
And I think it actually presents a really interesting opportunity to talk about issues that we often find difficult to talk about, right? On the one hand, this whole thing has drawn a lot of criticism, saying that it might lead to children having negative impressions about their family members. On the other hand, people have praised the question and said that it is necessary to teach children about sexual predators and consent and so on. But I think overall, it also brings up this question of context, right? How do you broach this conversation with kids of particular ages? What are the different ways in which you need to I think express these very important ideas, but also being aware of how they're being perceived, what you're actually talking about, because this image also doesn't exist in isolation. Since then, more images have come out in terms of, I think, other scenarios that exist within the curriculum all around this idea of sexual predators. But it seems to not really have enough context, or even it doesn't seem to treat the subject with enough gravity. I don't know. It feels sort of weird and out of nowhere.
So to be very clear, it's part of a lineup of images, actually, within one chapter. But the chapter is specifically looking at incest and the prevention of incest and how to say no to family members when these boundaries are transgressed, which is a hugely important topic, right? So that context thing is so crucial, because talking about preventing incest and about recognizing when there are inappropriate behaviors, when there are boundaries that are being crossed, everybody would agree that this is important. However, are you giving kids, or do kids or children in general have enough of a grounding in the other elements of sex education to understand what this is? Because right now you're addressing one issue that is actually part of a much larger ecosystem of knowledge and ecosystem of awareness that isn't being provided for in a big way in our classrooms, right? Because when I think about how sex education is talked about in schools, of course, a very heated topic, but it's also very piecemeal at the moment. It's here and there. So you have something in kesehatan, you have something in science, you have something, you know, that maybe you talk about with, I don't know, counselors, but you don't necessarily have it in any, in a holistic form that actually addresses real lived realities, it feels like.
And if you want to bring up questions of sexual abuse or predation, don't you first have to have the grounding and the knowledge to understand what that might mean? Mm. Don't you have to understand sexuality, sexual education? Why, for instance, and you know, that piecemeal way also, I think, leads to the way in which this knowledge is being delivered. If you look at those options on what to do, why isn't there anything there about turning to another adult, bringing your parents into the conversation? Why are all the children depicted in the images girls? You know, there are so many things here that speak to a larger lack of a systematic approach to doing this. And I think that is very important.
So while it's a good step, I think in context or out of context, rather, it's very odd. In context, it lacks a wider context. So there are some clear gaps here. And that's what we wanted to talk about today. Firstly, by hearing from a sex educator about how it is that we can approach this topic. But we'd also like to know, how do you talk to your kids about sex? I mean, is that a conversation that you've had? Do you remember having the talk with your parents? And what was that like? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about sex education and more broadly this idea of awareness, right? Creating awareness and understanding with our children so that they know what the boundaries are, how to stay safe. And with that, we've been asking you, how do you talk to your kids about sex? Do you remember having the talk with your parents? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're going to be addressing this with sex educator June Lau. June, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me. Good evening.
So how did you feel when you first saw the image and the sort of scenarios that it posited?
Honestly, I thought it was a joke because my brother, shout out to my brother, experienced videographer Adrian Lau, posted it and I thought it was a meme. I thought it was a joke. And then all the news came out and, you know, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke.
So this is meant for students who are in Form 3, so 14, 15-year-olds. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, would you say that the content and tone was appropriate?
Okay, what's interesting is that, I mean, at first glance, you would think, no, I can't believe this. But actually, learning to recognize child abuse is something that the UNESCO guidelines recommends that we do between the ages of 5 and 8. Now, there are many different guidelines to teaching sex education internationally, and one of them is the UNESCO guidelines, which is the one that I use most often. So between the ages of 5 and 8, very, very young, kids will learn about child rights, very basic, very simple way of introducing human rights to children as we set a foundation for learning about sex education later. And then between the ages of 9 and 12, we'll talk about incest and things like that. And kids must be able to describe examples of sexual violence, which is what's happening, what appears to be happening in this exercise in this textbook. But, you know, it depends on what else was taught before Form 3, whether they're able to do that or not.
So I think, you know, this is something that you've been on the station to talk a lot about as well, sex education in school. So I don't want to belabor the point, but what role do or should schools play when it comes to teaching children about boundaries and raising awareness about sexual abuse?
Well, they play a huge role, right? I mean, they spend so much time with the kids, more than parents do most of the time. So you think that, you know, their biggest job is to protect the kids and teach them how to be safe. But I guess what I want to say is the bigger question is if they want to talk about sexual abuse, they have to be prepared to talk about sex and sexual acts and sex education. And whether they are able or have the capacity to do so is another matter altogether. So when we say schools should do this, we should also be fair and sort of think about their capacity. Can they do it or not? Like, most teachers are not equipped to do this and they cannot be faulted for not doing it, to be fair to them. You know, it takes a lot of training to be able to conduct these lessons.
So what needs to happen for that sort of preparation to be in place?
I think the government has got the this sex ed curriculum, right? And it's very vague, and there's not enough training on how to teach it. You know, in theory, it's based on these guidelines, but adapted to suit Malaysia's cultural setting. So it's basically censored everything the government wants to censor, like gay people, for example, which is not acceptable by international standards. Let me just put it out there. For various reasons, because teaching about diversity is a way to protect children as well. So we have to think about these kinds of things when we think about how we can get sex ed into schools, because everyone in Malaysia is just saying we need to teach sex ed in schools, but we need to understand what is being taught also. Will you settle for something that's substandard and could potentially cause more harm in the long run? You know, and if let's say you come up with something that is absolutely wonderful, then you need to invest in training teachers and keeping in mind that those teachers may come from backgrounds which make it difficult for them to teach such lessons because they are also Malaysians, maybe. So we have to think about a lot of things when we think about how to make that happen. And I don't think that enough work is being done to really deliver sex education that is comprehensive.
I also wanted to ask on the subject of teaching, building in sex education into a nationwide curriculum, for example, mm-hmm. right? I'm curious as to how it is that it can be taught generally in a relatable sense, because to my mind, at least, my assumption is that sex education is best taught in smaller groups where you can work things out, where you can address specific things with specific people. But in the case of a curriculum, and like you said, with the issue of capacity, that's mm-hmm. not necessarily something you can adjust to for classes of 40.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The short answer is that the whole world doesn't have a straight answer to that. But what we do know is that kids can benefit from group discussions. And now that we've sort of moved, Corona has brought some blessings. It's been awful, but it's brought some blessings. So, like, I think that the online platform provides many opportunities for us to reach a lot of groups if it's executed properly. When you talk about a classroom of 40 people, for example, a single teacher may not be able to help all those 40 people, may not be able to give a space for all those 40 children to express themselves safely. But within the online platform, we can provide that anonymity. There are many apps that we can use. There's many different ways of learning where kids can participate in the way that they want to participate. So there's many questions. It's a very loaded question, but there's many things to do to get us to that place. I certainly think, and I've said many times, there isn't a one-size-fits-all. Even if we did come up with a national curriculum, within each school, schools know what's going on with their students. Classroom teachers know what's going on with their particular students. And to teach sex ed effectively, they must be able to adjust very quickly and pick up on certain things as they go along, you know. So there isn't a formula. We just have to adjust as we go along.
What about people who say that, sex education isn't something that should be taught in schools in the first place, but should instead be something you discuss at home? How would you respond to that?
I think that we're all looking for the utopia. In an ideal world, I would love for parents to be vetted thoroughly before they give birth and come with the ability to teach sex education the moment the baby arrives. But unfortunately, we have our own lived realities and we are not able to teach those things as well, right? A lot of people are unable to. A lot of parents are increasingly equipping themselves with the knowledge to do so from a very young age with their kids. Yeah. But you're also faced with issues like your kid is growing up. They may not want to talk to you as much. And as I mentioned earlier, there are benefits to group discussions. Kids may not be able to articulate their thoughts as well. And so while other kids are saying certain things, they may want to tack on to that. So it's not something that sort of keeping on the home front would be too beneficial in the long run, given that there are so many issues at play in today's society and kids are increasingly exposed to more and more in the media. And so there are many things they want to talk about. They want to know what their friends think. They want to know what the boundaries are within their particular peer group, you know, which on the whole front might not be so practical, right? So I think we also need to consider that.
Now, this image came from a textbook, was in a chapter that was meant to address incest specifically. And this is something we talked about earlier, right? Like talking about one thing without necessarily addressing everything else. Why do you think, is it important for issues like sexual abuse, inappropriate touching, things like that, to be addressed more holistically rather than in isolation?
Yeah, absolutely. I just did a talk about porn. And the argument that I made was, if you want to do a talk about porn, you cannot just say, hello, porn, it's porn time. You can't do that, right? Sorry, I had to put my porn joke in there because no one will hear it otherwise. It's on national radio now, yes. So, seriously though, you have to talk about porn in conjunction with a host of other subjects. You really do. So, like, you can't just go like, oh, wow, we're going to talk about sexual abuse, good touch, bad touch. Everybody only knows about this. Hey, we must teach good touch, bad touch. But from a very young age, you want to talk about incest, you need to talk about relationships. You need to talk about families and how families could be different, and how to show love, and how, what kind of touch is okay. Not all touch is bad, right? Not all, you know, not all kinds of bad touch in private areas are bad. For example, a doctor needs to examine you. So there are many nuances to teaching this. And in order to teach these subjects, we need to have a rights-based comprehensive approach that needs to start from very young. So we need to teach the parents from very young how to start using the right kind of language. And then when they approach school age, 5 to 8 years old, as early as that, then, you know, kindergarten teachers need to start talking about that kind of stuff with them too. Hygiene, all of this build up to talking about sexual abuse, ownership of the body, the way that kids can communicate boundaries, all of this is part of a big thing. So definitely I disagree with teaching them in isolation.
One of the things that is quite apparent from looking at these images in particular is that the victims featured in all of them are girls. And this isn't uncommon in other conversations about sexual abuse either, to have a focus on young women. Now, what else needs to be done to make this sort of awareness relevant and inclusive of everyone, of both genders?
Yeah. Of all genders. They need to, of course, like you said, they need to open it up. And the people designing these books need to receive some sex education. And we need to move away from the binary. The Malaysian society is still so stuck in that, you know, boys and girls, pink and blue. Don't ever let me see another gender reveal party on Instagram. I'll lose my mind, you know. So I think that we need to have a lot more of such conversations. It's a long conversation, which I don't think your show has time for today. But basically, we need to move away from the binary, because this is rooted in that. Girls are weak. Girls are victims always. But many boys are victims too. We know that for a fact, but we don't talk about it and why, you know. So that's a big discussion that we need to have. I think that, I just want to say one more thing, that I think that if you are a parent that thinks that way and you have a young child that's, you know, born male, you might want to rethink the way that you think, because they're just as vulnerable as your born female child.
Now, you've been a sex educator for some time now. Have you seen awareness grow about this? I mean, are people more open to discussions? You mentioned that at the moment you're seeing parents, I think, trying to kind of equip themselves better. Is this across the board?
I want to say yes, because more and more people are reaching out and talking to me. Like, I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of parents interested in looking for solutions. So like, oh, my kid's not good at math. They'll search for best mathematics tuition center, Klang Valley. You know, but like, if my kid is looking at pornography, they will search sex education pornography, and then they might find my website, which is www.goodsexeducation.com. Quick plug. But it's true. It's true that I think that more and more people are talking about it. More and more parents are seeing that as something that they need to do to become, you know, responsible parents. That's something that they need to provide to their kids. But I also want to say that those are my observations from looking at what's being discussed in the media, and also from what people are saying to me. when we talk about very rural areas, the thinking may still be the same, that this is not something we talk about. So we need to think about those communities as well, right? So we don't have enough studies on what's happening within those communities and who's in charge. But we do have information about levels of knowledge and very, very basic stuff. Yeah, so are people more open to discussions now? Visibly, yeah, but invisibly, don't know.
June, we just have about a minute left. If you could just wrap up for us, how does having an awareness and understanding of sexuality and issues like consent help to deter incidents of sexual abuse?
Sorry, I'm so shameless because I really need sex ed to reach people, okay? It's obvious, right? If you know about issues like consent, when to say no, how to say no. Sex education is not just about knowing when to say no, but also having skills to say no. Yeah. So obviously, when that happens and kids know where to go to after they've said no, and to know that their networks will protect them if they say no, right? Then you have a system that works. Then you have children that are protected. And if you look around you, I venture that you don't have that. Most people don't have that. So if you have a child and you've brought them into this world, you need to work on creating that network. Even if the whole nation doesn't give you that, you need to create that network in a small, on a small scale. And it's possible. It's very easy, actually. You need to just open your heart and it will come. So, like porn jokes. You need to hear more porn jokes from me, then it will come.
June, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening to my nonsense. I love talking about this. You should talk about it more. Okay.
That was sex educator June Lau, porn jokes and all, talking to us today about the importance of sex education, really, in keeping our children safe and informed. This is coming after an image from a Form 3 Kesehatan quiz went viral. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think we need comprehensive sex ed in our schools? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:40 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. Our story today is really focused on sex ed. And the importance of raising awareness among our kids when it comes to boundaries, keeping them safe. This is because of an image from a Form 3 Kesehatan quiz that, I mean, tried to address some of those questions, but did that with very little nuance. And so we were just talking about that. We spoke about it earlier in the context of schools. After this, we're going to discuss how you, as a parent, can have that talk with your kids. So if you've been putting it off, now might be good. That might be an interesting one to catch. But in the meantime, we would like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, do you think that we need more comprehensive sex ed in our schools? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have some messages.
So let's start with this one from Stephen. Stephen says, sex education and talking about sex has become such a taboo instigated by politicians. It's reached a point where discussing sex has become embarrassing and not enlightening. Such a sick society.
Yeah, and I think that stigma is definitely an issue that needs addressing. We do also have this anonymous message. So they say, today's Insight story is a little triggering for me. It happened to me as a child. And no, I never had a real sex conversation with my parents. I'm now in my mid-30s and it was never addressed at all. I believe this was the reason that I didn't know what was happening to me then. My mind blocked the memories from that period and I had a surge of recollection when I was in college, when I was contemplating being intimate with my then partner. Suffice to say, it was not a pretty experience. Even so, I couldn't bring it up with my parents. After tons of therapy in my late 20s, I was able to forgive my late grandparent, but the consequences of the abuse I had to endure remain till this day. I can't maintain a long relationship because of trust issues and because I can never be comfortable with being intimate. But back to sex ed and creating that safe space, I am for it. We must work together to come up with a proper curriculum. Parents, teachers, activists, policymakers must contribute to this cause. I'm doing my bit as a girl empowerment coach, but it's hard to do this alone. with a few like-minded individuals and organizations. For starters, girls and boys must be taught about sex, sexual violence, menstruation, STDs, etc., together in the same class. Do away with malu, segan, tak manis kind of thinking. And first and foremost, I mean, thank you so much for sending us that message. And I'm sorry that that happened. And I think that you bring up, your story highlights, I think, why this is so important. And you bring up so many excellent points as well.
And, you know, I think you make so many points about how these things don't exist in isolation, about the long-ranging impact of going through experiences like this, and also why it's actually important to create a safe space to be able to talk about these things openly and in a safe way as well. I also commend you for actually doing your bit, you know, and I think more people should really participate in this cause and make it an easier conversation to have.
So we are shortly going to be talking about, earlier we spoke about schools and curriculum, but the truth is that this is a conversation that needs to happen all around, right? It's an ecosystem. So family, parents, you know, all of this play a huge role. And in line with that, we have this from Stephen, who says, coming from a very traditional and conservative Chinese family, my parents avoid any sexual topic at all costs. I remember quite a few incidents when their friends or relatives would accidentally start discussing about sexually related stuff. And my parents would stop them immediately, tell them, don't say all this in front of kids. I was already a teen at the time, says Stephen. And if there were any questions, my parents would quickly dismiss it and reply with, you'll eventually get it when you grow older. And at some point of life, in my uni days, my parents just assumed I already knew everything.
And I don't think this would be an unfamiliar experience, right? As far as, for me at least, most of these conversations were had in the context of health and menstruation and what to expect. And so the other stuff was sort of a peripheral conversation to that. And yeah, I think even that actually for many people would not be the common experience.
Honestly, when I read that, I just felt a surge of a surge of nostalgia in some ways, because I think that this is what happens a lot of the time, right? You just sort of put off the talk until your child is more or less an adult and you go, by now you've probably found out. But the thing is, for something that is as important as this and which also leaves people with a lot of vulnerabilities, right? It is most important that A, you are a reliable source of information. They know that they can come to you. And B, that you are that reliable source because you have been for a long time. And I think that if you don't start building that relationship, then of course it's going to get incredibly awkward when you try and sit someone down at the age of 12 when they're just starting to be like, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to my friends.
So we have Alvin, for instance, saying, my parents never spoke to me about sex. My elder brother, who's 11 years older, talked to me. And you know, I can see that going either way, right? Actually being an adult, perhaps, who is able to give you that kind of information. But I'm also not sure whether people are entirely equipped to understand what that responsibility involves.
Yes. And I think this also comes back to that point we were making about lived realities and how perhaps in some cases, if you have someone who is able to actually address that, that might go a long way towards creating a safe space, you know, where you can have these conversations. So we will be talking about how to have this conversation with children, but a part of it actually, or one possible avenue, especially for younger children, is a new picture book that just came out. And we are joined now by Kimberly Lee, managing editor of the online parenting platform Marksheet.com. She's also the co-author of the book that we were just talking about, What If?, a picture book that educates young children on consent, personal safety, body boundaries. Kimberly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about the book itself, right? How did you and the team begin to conceptualize it?
Well, it's a topic that's always been extremely important to the team at Marksheet. We're a parenting platform, as you well know. And as part of what we do is that we host regular sharing sessions with our followers and our readers. And in 2019, we ran a session specifically on the topic of sexual harassment. And what we found out was 78% of our followers had actually experienced sexual harassment at an early age. And I think just stemming from that result, I think, really kind of shook us and made us realize that there's so much being swept under the carpet and not actually being known about. And so we felt that there was something that needed to be done about this. We wanted to do something that would encourage conversations to take place at home. And so what we did was that we partnered with a local sexuality education provider called Spot in Malaysia. And we ran some mother-daughter workshops with them. And we realized that while conversations were happening there, people and parents needed something to take the conversation further in the home space. And that's when our co-author, Liana Taff, came up with the idea of writing this children's book and hopefully using it as a way to bridge that conversation at home.
So when it comes to young children, there's always this dilemma on how to introduce these topics, right? On safety, on body boundaries. Yeah. What approach did you take?
I've always operated on a be as honest as you can be approach. I think that we as parents really should give our children more credit. I mean, they're curious creatures, and if they're not learning first from us, then where are they going to be finding that information? So I always give the analogy that as parents, you know, we really do everything that we can to make sure our kids are safe. You know, we put up safety gates and we pad them up before they go for their bike rides. So why shouldn't conversations about body boundaries and safety be a natural part of this? And so, like I mentioned before, I would take an approach that is honest, tempered with understanding what their age and maturity level is, and making sure that no shame or stigma is attached to the information that I pass on to them.
And you included diverse characters in the book. Why is this especially important for the subject?
Yes, we did. Something that I think we were very conscious about from day one. So as you would well know, the issues raised in our book would happen across the board. I mean, regardless of race, socioeconomic background, culture, creed. And it was very important for us that kids from all our communities in Malaysia understood that they weren't alone in this specific area. It relates to everyone. And there are wonderful books and resources out there that deal with issues of consent and body safety as well. But our hope was always for this book to enable Malaysian children to see themselves represented in that same world. So we highlight uniquely Malaysian people, customs, resources. The five kid characters actually reflect our Malay, Chinese and Indian communities, as well as our Serani or Kristang and Iban community. And of course, it's by no means all-encompassing, as Malaysia is wonderfully diverse, but we hope to see even more books out there that continue to showcase this.
So what have the reactions been like from other parents and also from children?
I'm very happy to report that it's been very positive so far. I think optimistically that shows that there's a greater move by Malaysian families to start up these conversations with their kids. The kids seem to really love the gorgeous, colourful illustrations by our illustrator for the book, Delia Razak. She's so talented. And the simplicity of the rhymes that actually convey much deeper messages. And parents as well, I think, appreciate the fact that we've included a comprehensive discussion guide at the back of the book. And we also provide additional resources and downloadable activities on our website that they can continue to take the conversation a little bit deeper at home.
So in closing, I mean, how do you hope for sexuality education to be incorporated into children's lives?
I really think that it needs to start at our homes and within our schools. We can't expect kids to just pick things up, you know, through osmosis. It has to start with a conversation where a parent or an educator sits down with the child and then talks them through even just the basics. I mean, there can't be a sense of taboo or stigma attached to sexuality education. It's a very natural part of life. So these conversations should start at an early age. Girls and boys should be included in this conversation because it applies across the board. And keep that conversation as open as possible and speak to your kids at home about it.
Kimberly, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was Kimberly Lee, Managing Editor of MarkSheek.com, co-author of the newly released picture book, What If?, which educates young children on consent, personal safety, body boundaries. Keep those thoughts coming. After this, we're going to be discussing how else you can initiate these conversations at home. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:52 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We've been talking today about sexuality education and the role it plays in terms of keeping our children safe, understanding what the boundaries are. And now we're talking about doing that at home, having those conversations between parent and child. And we're speaking on that to consultant child psychologist Katiana Azman. Katiana, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So to dive right in, right, some of the barriers that we hear about are, you know, stigma, people just not finding it very comfortable to talk about sex with their children, vice versa, children don't want to have that conversation either. What advice do you have on overcoming this?
I think, you know, it's such an extremely important conversation to have. And I can appreciate that stigma, having been born and raised in this country. I think a lot of people feel that, one, it's not just uncomfortable, but there's a lot of taboo. There's a lot of people who feel that talking about sex encourages sexual behavior, which is, of course, not true. So I guess the main thing that I have to tell parents is that, you know, you want to be the first voice in the room, if you will, because of course, you know, the main interactions that your children are going to have are the ones that they're going to have with you as parents. So for a topic so important, such as, you know, safe sex and sexual education, you want to be the ones to set the tone, because if not, they're going to find those answers in other sources, which might not be as appropriate, right? Or as accurate. So as uncomfortable as it is, or as challenging as it is, it definitely needs to be something that we do.
What's a good age to begin having these conversations, and how can they be tailored to different levels of understanding and readiness?
So, I mean, like, it is actually something that's being done already with younger children. So around the ages of five or six, I would say, even younger, there's a lot of books that are coming out now, which address the topic of appropriate touching, for example, what is appropriate comments or appropriate conduct with, you know, adults, with individuals of the opposite gender. So all of these things are being addressed in books. And I, for the life of me, I can't remember the famous one that came out a couple of years ago addressing this. So I think that, you know, it is something that we should start talking about with children who are around that age bracket. Of course, talking about sort of like sexual practices at the age of five or sexual behavior at the age of five might be a little bit too early. But talking about definitely things such as what is appropriate touching, what is appropriate interactions with adults and other children is something you need to start addressing with kids in an age appropriate way. So using things like cartoons or books and things like that to drive the message home. And there's a lot of that resources available. But if your child is school aged, definitely talk about, you know, what is safe. And then as they progress into teen years, talk about sexual behavior and sexual health and things like that.
So a lot of things inform family values, right? And family values are a key point here. And this includes religion, culture. And in those contexts, we often see an approach to this that focuses really on not having sex until marriage. But as we know, that doesn't always reflect lived realities. How can parents talk about sex in a way that will be helpful and open to their children without compromising on their values?
I think, you know, you're right. Absolutely. A lot of parents are advocating for abstinence in their approach with regards to sex. But like you said, kids tend to find a way. So what I would say is, you know, the first thing you want to do is to not make it something that is a closed conversation, because the minute that you project that it's something that they're not willing to, that you're not willing to discuss, that they're, you know, I've heard some parents say that you're, you know, it's a sin and all of that type of thing. All you're doing is showing your child that they're not open to conversation. Right. And so, you know, I think it's important to talk about it from a very objective point of view, and talking about the fact that, you know, sex is something that does happen between individuals. And you can, of course, reaffirm your views and your beliefs and say that, you know, dad and I, or mom and I, you know, we do believe, you know, the religion teaches us so-and-so, or our culture or even personal beliefs teach us so-and-so. And so as a result, you know, we choose to believe in this, and we would really like for you to practice the same for reasons A, B, C, D, E, F, G. For example, of course, like, you know, that it's, you know, some kids who don't practice safe sex are open to getting, you know, in, you know, transmittable diseases and things like that. Like, there's a lot of parents have different arguments. So I think the take home is, to be able to, of course, communicate your beliefs and what you hope your child will ascribe to, but at the same time, embracing the fact that if it does happen, these conversations are going to happen and are okay, right? So talk about it in that way so remove the prosecution from it, I think is important, so that at least kids will find it something acceptable to discuss. And I personally believe they'd be more open to abiding by the rules you set when they believe in it themselves, rather than just being told because I said so.
We just have about a minute left. What else do parents need to do to empower their children so that they feel safe saying no and going to a trusted adult?
So setting the tone is so important, right? So if you are showing your child that these communications are not awkward, these conversations are not awkward, and that it is healthy and necessary for you to be talking about things like safe sex, how can they protect themselves? What does saying no look like? If someone pressures you, what that looks like? All of these types of things are things that you need to be able to have with your child, and showing them that even if they have a different opinion, you welcome that. So I think just more importantly, set the stage. Set the tone for your child. Make sure that you're showing them that you are the best person for them to talk to. And then hopefully everything else falls into place.
Tatiana, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
You're very welcome.
That was consultant child psychologist Tatiana Azman talking, giving some tips really on how it is that parents can get going on having that conversation with their children about safe sex, about consent, about boundaries, all these things that we've been discussing this hour. Keep those thoughts coming. I mean, do you remember having this conversation with your parents, for example? How do you talk to your kids about it? Do you think we need sex ed in schools? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.